You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 319 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live on this fine Sunday evening into Monday morning. In fact, it is officially Monday morning here on the East Coast as the Hawks fell to the Los Angeles Lakers by a final score of 132-113 on Sunday evening. It is quite late, of course. That's the nature of having a 9:30 Eastern time start. And then, of course, a game that was not exactly kind to the Hawks, but one that definitely existed and did not finish until about midnight Eastern. So lots to get to on today's podcast. Not going super duper deep on this show, as I plan to do a little bit of a future episode on with someone. And by someone, I mean Jeff Siegel, who was actually in attendance for this game. Actually be in attendance as well on Monday against the Clippers. He's, of course, a local, somewhat local resident of Southern California, so he's on the scene covering things for PeachtreeHoops.com, but of course it is quite late, and on a back-to-back, this will be a quick episode in between games, but wanted to hit on at least the Lakers game for everybody here. First things first, in this spot, this is obviously a brutal performance from the Hawks in a lot of different ways. Defensively, it was not great. There was some bright spots in the second half on the offensive end of the floor, but on defense, it just sort of from an overall standpoint, not a lot went well for Atlanta in this game, and that was worth noting here. The Lakers had entered this contest losing 9 games in a row at the end of the day. They basically exploded and led almost wire to wire. The Hawks did lead this game very, very, very early in the game. It was 10-2 Hawks to start the contest. So from that point forward, the Hawks were outscored by 27 points instead of only 19, I say only in quotation marks, in terms of the actual scoreboard itself. It was an absolute domination from that point forward for the Lakers. Sort of ran things down as what the game flow was in this game. That 10-2 start was pretty much the only bright spot for Atlanta. The Lakers did quickly tie the game, despite the fact that John Collins hit his first career three-pointer in that first quarter. That was one of the highlights as well for Atlanta. And Torian Prince actually exited the game in the first quarter for a little bit of time with a dislocated right ring finger. Prince did return. It looked a little bit worse than that at the time. He went pretty much straight to the locker room, but ended up coming back in, played 25 minutes, so it wasn't as if this cost him a lot of time. He re-entered with a taped-up finger. We'll talk about him here in a second, but it was a situation where no one would have been overly surprised if Prince did not return in the game, but he actually got back pretty quickly from that injury, and despite the fact that it was a negative result, nice to see him back on the floor after that injury took place. Elsewhere, there was an 8-0 run from the Lakers to open the second quarter, sort of set the table for what was to come in that way. There was actually some first half minutes from Tyler Dorsey, pretty much in the stead of Torian Prince because of the fact that Torian was unavailable, but still pretty much the first time we've seen Dorsey in a real live rotation role, even if just for a very, very brief moment without Torian in the lineup in that first half. Elsewhere, a 21-3 run from the Lakers was used to open the second quarter. After the 8-0 run, it was basically that it morphed into a 21-3 run. At that point, the Lakers led by a score of 50-30, and some pretty ghastly transition defense during that stretch by Atlanta, and not enough offense to sort of make up for that. So that was pretty much the glancing blow in the game. Honestly, there was quote unquote enough time for the Hawks to make a comeback at that point. They actually showed some signs of life, but being down by 20. They basically ended the game in the first half, and that just proved to be the case down the stretch. At the half, there was a 28-0 fast break point differential between the Hawks and the Lakers. At one point, I actually got to 34-0 before the Hawks actually scored their first fast break / transition point in the second half. The full game numbers did not look quite as bad. It was a 42-15 final in terms of the fast break points, but it was an absolute sort of annihilation in those first. Two and a half, three quarters in that particular area. That wasn't everything, but it did sort of speak to how bad the Hawks transition defense was in this game, and that did not certainly help things for the Hawks. Atlanta did get within 13 points early on in the fourth quarter. There was, from there, though, a 6-0 run by the Lakers that was punctuated by a Lonzo Ball dunk to get back to a 19-point advantage. That was basically the end of any sort of run from Atlanta. And so from that point forward, it was pretty much all Lakers on the way to the final score. The Hawks did score 65 points after halftime. So it was not necessarily the offense in the second half of the game. They were outscored by 1 point in the second half, but that was all because the Lakers scored 66 points defensively, and they matched their exact total from the first half. I will say, from a sort of overall standpoint, the Hawks' defense was not good here. It was a 123.2 offensive rating allowed from Atlanta, which is obviously not good at all. It was not quite as bad as the raw numbers would indicate. This is a very fast-paced game, about a 107 in terms of possessions, and that's very, very high pace. The Lakers play the fastest basketball in the league. That certainly was the case here. That was discussed on the broadcast as well, but just a lot of pace going on for the Lakers, and the Hawks were not able to keep up in that way. Offensively, the Hawks scored at a clip of 105.5, which is not good, I will say. It's not terrible either, but on a night where the defense just kind of basically had no answers, it was magnified, and that was not close to enough for the Hawks to sort of remain competitive and involved in this game throughout, and that is sort of teamed up to be the final score of 132-113. In fact, just a little bit more in terms of numbers on the defensive end of the floor, the Lakers shot 56% from the floor, 44% from three, and 80% from the free throw line with 32 assists in this game. That's a really sort of dicey set of numbers. The Lakers actually had 18 turnovers versus 32 assists, which is not, you know, anything great shakes, but the Hawks were just kind of able to give up as much as they were able to give up, and despite the fact that they were able to generate 18 turnovers, it was not nearly enough to slow down the Lakers. Before we get into the individual matchups, do want to recommend that you guys check out the Locked On Podcast Network, as we usually want to tell you guys. It's a good way to stay in touch with the entire league of the NBA as well as the NFL. Playoff time is here in that sport, and there's a podcast for each and every team as well as a national show, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL. If you have interests beyond the Hawks, please check that out. And in terms of this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. 5 stars are definitely preferable, of course, but we can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. Just pop in and see us wherever you listen to podcasts. We should be there. And if we're not, please let us know, and we'll get there as soon as we possibly can. So let's get into the sort of individual players in this game. Everyone that was available for the Hawks appeared in this game, which is not a big surprise because of the fact that it was a blowout loss, to be honest with you. But in terms of the guys who did not play much in this game, Mike Muscala only played garbage time minutes. He was actually +4 in 6 minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds for Muscala. I continue to think that he should be playing more, and I think I don't really understand why he's sort of completely relegated to this role, but he played well, in my opinion, in this small stint, so maybe we'll see a little bit more from him in the future. Luke Babbitt, 5 minutes, 2 points, and a rebound. And he was 0-1 from the floor and 2-2 from the free throw line. Same sort of deal as Muscala. I do understand that Babbitt is on a short-term contract, so maybe you wouldn't want to lead on him versus Tyler Dorsey. Tyler Cavanaugh and Tyler Dorsey, I guess. But Babbitt did not necessarily do too much to lend itself to evaluation in this game. And Isaiah Taylor only played 8 minutes, which I thought was pretty noteworthy. No points, 2 assists, did not play great at all in this game, and the Hawks rolled with Malcolm Delaney as the backup point guard for the most part. Delaney played 21 minutes, played better than Taylor, I thought, 9 points, 2 assists, did have a -24 net rating, so it wasn't as if he was effective in terms of his individual performance translated to team success, but 21 minutes, I actually thought he was okay, 4-8 from the floor, and 1-3 from three. Marco Bellinelli was 1-7, was a -17 in 17 minutes. I thought that was pretty indicative, honestly, of him. If he's not making shots, it's tough to play him, and defensively, it was really rough, as usual, for Marco in this game. Without the offense, not a whole lot of redeeming quality to his play. Tyler Dorsey, 9 minutes, including that little small stint in the first half that we mentioned earlier on the podcast, 6 points and 2 assists. A nice sort of homecoming for Dorsey, who's from the LA area. Nice to see him get some minutes here, if only because of the circumstances in which he played. I mean, I had no problem with him playing because he's a rookie. You know, he's sort of in the plans for the future, and he didn't do anything particularly noteworthy, I didn't think, on the floor itself. Just the decision to play him was one that I could certainly get behind. Tyler Cavanaugh, 16 minutes, made both of his shot attempts, 6 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist, was -12 in 16 minutes. I thought he was okay in this game, but defensively there's some issues. When he makes shots, though, it's helpful, and he certainly did that in his two attempts. And finally on the bench, John Collins, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 2 block shots, 3 turnovers, was a minus 20 in 21 minutes, was 5 of 7 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3, which was his first make of his career, and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. A lot of his minutes came in the second half when things were out of control. I would have liked to see him play a little bit more in the first half, sort of a broken record here with Collins. At one point he had played 8 minutes. I could not believe that's all he had played, as the Hawks had rolled with other lineups, including Kavanaugh at center. There was a little bit of injury hiccup there when it came to Collins, but still, want to see more from him. I thought he played reasonably well when he was out there, and was set on with some ugly lineups around him, so nothing terribly brutal to write home about with Collins, but not a ton of playing time either. In the starting lineup, Miles Plumlee, 25 minutes, 6 points, 4 rebounds. Pretty lackluster in terms of just things to hit on with Miles. I thought, him playing more than John Collins is sort of the story that writes itself. But not too much else going on. Defensively, he didn't really have much of an impact. Offensively, he hurts the spacing a little bit, and his gravity is not such where he can do a whole lot more outside from just catching and finishing around the rim when he is wide open. That was the case here. Torian Prince, I mentioned the injury early on. He did come back, of course, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 turnovers for Torian in 25 minutes. Was 2 of 7 from the floor. Didn't seem to be favoring the finger, but did not really make any shots from the perimeter after he returned. So I'm sure that was favoring that a little bit at least. And we'll see what that looks like long term. But the Hawks, quickly allowed him to return. So it doesn't seem like it's gonna be a long term injury necessarily, but something to monitor in the near future as the Hawks are playing again, of course, tonight as you're listening to this on Monday against the Clippers in the same building. Ursula Nesova, 3 of 10 from the floor, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Drew a nice charge in this game, although it was probably a controversial call at the time. But not exactly the most efficient performance from Ersan, and he was just kind of out there for the most part. Dennis Schroeder, the quietest 27 points you'll ever see, 10 of 23 from the floor, 0 of 4 from 3. 7 of 8 from the free throw line. I looked up in the fourth quarter early on. He had 27 points. I couldn't believe that he had 27 points. It wasn't as if he was bad offensively. I thought he was actually pretty decent, okay. Offensively, he was one of the sources of the defensive issues in transition. And that was not enough to his offensive performance was not enough to overcome those defensive issues, though. And I thought he didn't play awful by any stretch, but he wasn't good either, necessarily, despite the 27 points. And finally, Kent Bazemore, 15 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, 2 block shots, 4 turnovers for Kent. His turnovers have been really high recently at times, efficiency-wise. 15 points on 15 shot attempts. He was 6 of 15 from the floor and 3 of 9 from 3. You want to see a little bit better than that for Kent, although it was not disastrous by any stretch. And defensively, not great either. Dealing with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a local product, didn't have much going on there defensively. And in general, the defense was really poor, and the backcourt was certainly at fault for a lot of that. So, sort of big picture takeaways here. It was a rough performance, and that, of course, the Lakers had lost 9 games in a row, and you never want to get blown out by a team at all, especially one that's not playing well at all. The Hawks didn't play well here. They were underdogs. People were surprised by that. I was not necessarily surprised by that, just because of the fact that it's a situation, no loss for the Hawks in some ways. They were in LA the night before, third game of a 5-game trip, and the Lakers were certainly motivated to take advantage of an opponent they actually were capable of beating, and they certainly did that here. If the Hawks do not play better at all on Monday against the Clippers, they're going to get blown out again, because the Clippers are better than the Lakers right now. That's one of those things that you have to say. It's a back-to-back, so in theory, your second game would be a worse spot. I'm not sure that's the case here, because the Hawks were obviously pretty bad here individually and as a team. So we'll see if they were able to put together a better performance against the Clippers team that isn't scaring anybody necessarily, but we're certainly playing better than the Lakers at the time of tip-off. So we'll definitely be back to recap that game. I will say, though, it will probably not be on Monday night for Tuesday morning, simply because I actually have the honor duty to cover the national title game in person on Monday evening downtown Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and as a result, I will not be watching the Hawks game live. I cannot imagine there will be too much attention paid to the NBA in the middle of that press box, so I'll have a little bit of a pulse on it, but will not be diving in necessarily until far after that, and given the nature of the traffic situation, all that fun stuff, no podcast for Tuesday morning, despite the fact that there'll be a game very, very late into the night. But as of Wednesday, we'll have plenty of discussion discussion on what transpired on Monday and even on Sunday, as I hope to have Jeff on the podcast in the near future, and just in general, we'll have an episode of some sort on Wednesday breaking those things down. And I apologize for that, a little bit of a hiccup, but when you were able to go cover the national title game, you have to kind of do that. So a little bit of a look behind the curtain as to why I will not have a podcast, but I hope you guys understand just the logistics of that and kind of it being impossible to turn around for the next morning. So one of those things, and we'll be back again on Wednesday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done that already. I really appreciate that. Leave 5-star feedback if you really like the show. Tell your friends, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday.